This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message.
How many of y'all know this is a spiritual battle? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. But we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say, we have the victory. In Jesus' name, grab somebody by the hand. Let no hand be untouched. I believe God's going to do something supernatural today. Matter of fact, I'm looking for him to do something supernatural today. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. As you're holding the hand of that person, you're holding the hand of someone that God's about to give a miracle to. While you're holding their hand, just tell them God's going to give you a miracle. I'm believing for a miracle to see the invisible, to touch the intangible, to do the impossible. God's going to give you a miracle. How do you know it? I just believe it. I just believe it. There's no other evidence, just to believe it. And because I believe it, I believe that God's going to match my faith with a miracle. Father, it is in Jesus' name that we come to you now. We ask God that you would do something great and extraordinary in this place. We've come, Father, worshiping you and praising you and lifting you up. We come magnifying your name. And my prayer today, Lord, is that you would move by your spirit, not by power nor by might, but by your spirit, that you would have your way in the midst of your people. Father, these hands I'm holding, I have no idea of the details of their life situation, but I know that you're a God that's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think. I don't know what they got to go back home to. I don't know what last week's situation was or what's even going to happen this week, but I know that you can help them through it. And I know you can bring them out of it. And I know that, God, you can bless them in spite of. So, Father, my prayer today is unselfish. Do it for my brother. Do it for my sister. Do it for these hands that I'm holding right now. Make a way for them and bless them and blow their mind and heal them, deliver them and set them free. Make them smile again. Give them joy that's unspeakable. Give them peace that passes all understanding. Overwhelm them with love that's unshakable. Father, my prayer is that you would bless them in the city. Bless them in the field. Bless them going in and coming out. Come on, shake that hand. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them. Give them courage and boldness. Hey, lift them up out of dark places and bring them into your marvelous light. Lord, do it for them, I pray. And I believe that if you do it for them, you'll do it for me. I believe you have no respect of persons and you'll bless all of us in this room. So, Father, I thank you in advance that not only you're doing it for them, you're blessing everybody on my row. You're blessing everybody in my section. You're blessing everybody in this church. I just want everybody to walk out with victory. I want everyone to walk out with a miracle. I want everybody to be met with the blessing in Jesus' name. If you believe that and receive that, let those hands go and clap those hands and give God the best praise you got in this room. Come on, if you want a blessing to come your way, you want to see your sister blessed, you ain't jealous of your brother. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God for blessing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now praise God for blessing. Give him glory for blessing. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Hallelujah. We're crying, Savior, Savior, our blessed Savior. Amen. Thank God for you and you. Amen. Thank God for everyone that's here in their respective places. To our guests and our visitors that are joining us, Crown, can we give a good God bless you to all of our guests that are here today? So glad to see you. Crown, y'all make sure you hug their neck, shake their hands, greet them before they leave this house. Find out their name, amen, so that we can have them to come and worship with us again. Thank God for our leading lady, Pastor Sabrina Shaw. Doesn't she look good in her Nike outfit? They must have done something to me to make me convince me to wear sweatsuits on Sunday. I don't know what has happened. I don't know. I don't know. I've been bound by the power of Satan, but but I must admit it's quite comfortable. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all know I like to be suited and booted, so at least it's still a suit today. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to share with you the word of the Lord. Get your Bibles. We want to thank God for this lit weekend. Our young adults are doing a superb job. Amen. Amen. So good to see young people serving in the house of the Lord. So good to see young people leading in worship. It makes a difference. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. They're the church of right now. And so we're grateful, amen, that they're anointed and educated and gifted and talented. And we're so grateful unto the Lord for them. Amen. And so just because I'm lit too, so I said I'll preach today. I'm not 18 to 30, but I'm 30 plus. Praise the Lord. You know, thank God for the 30 plus. Come on, 30 plus. Where y'all at? We in here. Amen. We gray and good. Praise the Lord. Amen. We gray and good. We all right. Thank you so much. Amen. I want to share with you along this theme of this year and one of the reasons why I wanted Lit to go ahead and serve and take over. But I wanted to continue in the theme of this year because I want to exhaust all that God has given me for this year of elevate. Everybody just say elevate. Elevate. I want to continue in that thought and in that mindset because I believe that God is doing something so supernatural this year and he's taking us to another level. And so we're going to go with our theme scripture, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 6. Ephesians 2 and 6. And we're going to get that and thumb that right there. And then I also want you to get Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and 1. Our theme scripture for the year is Ephesians 2 and 6. And then we'll go to Colossians 3 and 1. Ephesians 2 and 6. I want all of us to read this together collectively. Can y'all help me? Let's read it loudly. It's not a novel. It's not a magazine. It's not a book. This is the word of God. So we read it with boldness, confidence, and accuracy. Are we ready? Come on, let's read together. And have made us sit together in heavenly places. How many of you believe that we're seated with Christ Jesus? Amen. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 1. Colossians 3 and 1. And it reads on this wise. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Even set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. I want to talk to you this morning from a subject entitled Elevated Perspective. elevated perspective. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we need an elevated perspective. Come on, talk to somebody else on the other side and say, hey, over there, I need this year an elevated perspective. Hallelujah. You may have your season, the presence of the Lord. We need an elevated perspective. Last week, the Lord really ministered to us and spoke to us and shared with us through prayer that Crown Ministries is not just a church, but we are an eagle's nest. An eagle's nest by which the Lord is stirring the nest and causing us to tap into the totality of our potential. No, they probably wasn't here, but nudge your neighbor with your elbow and tell them you are an eagle and it's time to soar. The Lord told us prophetically that he is turning our soar into a soar. He's turning our S-O-R-E of our lives into a S-O-A-R. We're going to literally begin to soar or fly against the opposition in our lives. If you understand anything about an eagle needs opposing winds. It is the opposing winds that causes an eagle to take flight and literally gain her height. She climbs higher when things oppose her. This year, I believe that our soars will turn into a soar. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles. And this is the time in the season that you experience elevated living. When we look at this now eagle's nest, we now look at one of the great features of an eagle. An eagle is a very prestigious creature, particularly because of its ability to see and because of its sight. It has been estimated that an eagle can see 3 to 4 times further than human beings. They can see another eagle soaring 50 miles away. To put that into perspective, an eagle has a vision that's different from us. Perfect human vision is considered 20/20 vision, but an eagle vision is 25. That means what we see in 5 feet, an eagle can see in 20 feet. What we're able to see in 5 feet, an eagle can see at that same clarity with that same detail 20 feet away. By this standards, an eagle's visual acuity is 4 to 5 times stronger than human beings. An eagle's vision is exceptionally sharp. Somebody say exceptionally sharp. Because there are eyes happen to have 2 foveas. And what that is that inner circle inside your eye that gives you the ability to see sharp or acute vision. While human beings only have 1 fovea in their eye, an eagle have 2 in each eye. That gives them an extreme ability to see sharply and to see very details. Not only do they have 2 fovea in each eye, they actually, those fovea are tightly grouped together, allowing the eagle to see small details from extreme distances. Let's go further. An eagle not only can see far, but they also have high definition vision. They see in colors in a wider spectrum than human beings. Their eyes actually pick up shades and contrasts that we don't see. They can even see ultraviolet lights. The eagle has an ability to see UV lights, and that helps them to spot and trace their prey. They can even trace their prey's urine and their fur because they have ultraviolet light ability. But the eagle has a weakness. With their acute vision and their ability to see far, eagles have a blind spot. Their ability to see 20 feet away, what we see 5 feet away, their ability to see ultraviolet light, their ability to see in very keen perspective, they have a blind spot. The bald eagle and the golden eagle have a blind spot near the top of their head's center mass. This hinders the eagle from seeing things like wind turbine and other creatures, but they only, watch this, have a blind spot when they're looking downward. They can see acutely, and they can see sharply, and they can see very keen details looking forward 20 miles away. They can see another eagle soaring 50 miles away, which means I don't have to be close to you for you to soar with me. Look at your neighbor and say, I see you, I see you. I see your soar, and I didn't even got to be upon you. But the only blind spot we have is when we look down. Looking down causes an eagle's sharp ability to see to be diminished and go away. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but my prayer is that this year I have eagle eye vision. I want to have eagle eye ability to see not only far, but to see things that others don't see. And the only blind spot we'll have this year is when we're looking down. Would you nudge your neighbor with your elbow and say, whatever you do this year, just keep looking up. I don't care what they said, look up. I don't care what you're feeling, look up. Come on, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And if you can look up for seven folks that will holler at me, you can get up. If you can look up, you can stand up. If you look up, you can speak up. You must be able, somebody holler, look up. And this is exactly what Paul tells the church at Colossae this year in chapter number 3. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Which means you only embrace your blind spot when you look down. You only are blinded when you look beneath you. And you're going to have to determine this year, some things are simply beneath me. They're beneath my vision. They're beneath my sight. They are beneath what God said about me. If I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, I should not be looking for things beneath me, but the things that are above me. Come on, young people, look at one another and say, it's above me now. It's above me now. Those things that are above me are the things I am now aspiring towards. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this very keenly, because we are limited in our lives by several faculties of our body. I was praying on Friday evening, and on Friday evening, the Lord had me specifically praying about our ear. I was praying about the ear because what you hear can determine what you believe. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You live, ladies and gentlemen, on the level that you speak, but you speak on the level that you hear. Look at children. Children have become sponges, and they literally absorb everything you say. Don't slap your child in the mouth, because they talk like you talk. They repeat you. They parrot you. And if they don't learn it from you, they learned it from school. Or they don't learn it from school, they learned it from the house you let them get babysat at. They've learned that language somewhere, and like God talking to Adam and Eve when they said they were naked. God asked them, who told you you were naked? In other words, where did you get that language from? Because I don't even talk like that to you. How many parents ever looked at their child and said, where did you get that from? How did you start talking? Where did you hear that from? Ladies and gentlemen, your life looks like your mouth, and your mouth repeats what your ear heard. You got to be careful who you give your ear to, because whoever controls your ear controls your future. Whoever controls your ear has taken control of your purpose and inevitably affecting your destiny. So therefore, our lives are affected by what we hear. My prayer has been Friday for the ear of the church. We have failed because we have lent our ear to the world. We've lent our ear to the God of this world. We're impressed by the world. We want what they want. We want to be how they are because we have entertained them with our ear. But our ear is not the only thing that offends us. The other thing that offends us is our eyes. I'm almost through here. Your eye, ladies and gentlemen, can offend you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But as believers, we walk by faith and not by sight. So the intricacies of our Christian walk requires that we rely on what we believe and not on what we see. Ironically enough, we have two eyes. So God expects us to literally not use the things in front of us or believe what is before us, but to believe what he has placed in our hearts. Come on, let's admit it. On Sunday, we're in church. We might as well tell the truth. It's hard to believe what he put in my heart instead of what I literally see every day. Come on, let's tell the truth. It's difficult. It's challenging to believe he's going to provide for me, and I just opened the mail with the bill said it's due tomorrow. It's hard for me to believe he's going to heal me when I just saw the x-ray that the doctor just gave me. It's hard to believe what he placed inside of me, but my eyes constantly, repetitively, consistently see everything that opposes what he told me. And so the fight is to believe not what we see, but what he said. Your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, actually can offend you. Matter of fact, 1 John 2:16. Can I call the scripture? 1 John 2:16 says this: for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of this world. Your eyes can be lustful. Did I say that? Your eyes can be lustful. I'm not talking about sex and sexuality. I'm talking about lust. Lust is the overwhelming desire of a thing to the point that the desire rises above the desire of God. Lust is the overwhelming desire for a thing wherewith that desire rises above the desire of God. If you want anything more than you want God, you lust after it. And so the lust of the eyes offends us. Matthew 5:29. I'll say it again. Matthew 5:29 says this: if your right eye offends you, then pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is profitable if you walk round with one eye instead of having your eye offend your whole body and then throw you into hell. Does the scripture suggest that we literally pluck our eyes out? No, not so. But what it is saying is, deal with the areas of your life that is causing your whole life to be affected by that one area. Your eye can affect your whole life. What you see or what you pay attention attention to. What you focus on can affect how you live. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, deal with your eyes. I'm getting older. Y'all, I had a birthday. Y'all pray me. I'm almost through. And when I turn 46, there is a greater necessity for these things. You understand? And I was trying to be hip and I was trying to be cool. And I got me some Gucci's. You understand? Don't hate. I got me some Gucci's. And I put them on. But Sister Tanya, the Gucci's ain't Gucci-ing. And I went back to the eye doctor and I said, I can't see. It's, you know, I paid a lot of money for these. He said, no, you paid a lot of money for frames. You didn't pay a lot of money to see. Hallelujah. And some people are expecting frames to give them the ability to see. But frames don't give you ability to see. It's the lens that you need. You could have an expensive frame and still be blind. You could have expensive frames and not have clarity. Can I pull a scripture so you can shout? You could have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And there are some people that's giving you an expensive frame, but they're just as blind as a bat. They're giving you expensive frames, but they're going absolutely nowhere. How many of you need to be able to see? And so eyes are thinness. And so I got another pair of glasses, and I got them home by my library and my books, because those are my reading glasses. And I never understood why old people had several pair of glasses. I didn't know why Fred Sanford would go in the dresser drawer and have 25 pair of glasses. And I didn't know why, but now I understand it. You see, I got vanity glasses, and then I got reading glasses. Hallelujah. I can't see some of y'all here, but if I put on my good glasses, and my good glasses have a little line right here. Lord, because the bottom is a magnifying glass, and they call those bifocal glass. Hail Mary, full of God, pray for us. Y'all pray for me. And so now I have to wear bifocals. And the bifocals, they told me, they said, if you want us to take the line out of it, it'll cost you an extra $150. And nobody will know you have on bifocals because we'll take the line out of it. I said, no, keep the line there. I just won't wear these in public. That's all. Just keep the line. I wear the Gucci's in public, but when I'm ready to see and read, I'll put on those. And so I look at one thing through the top of the glasses, but when I look read, I go look at the bottom of the glasses. And so my vision now has to shift. y'all don't understand me. Y'all laughing at me, but keep living because you're on your way there. Your eyes are on your way there. And so that's how I now look at things. The top of my glasses I look at, but when I need to be sharper, I gotta look like this. Because I need to put in effect the bifocal. And I'm looking and reading, and that's too small. So I need the power of the magnifying. But notice that the image only gets sharper when I lift my head up. Because the bifocal is on the bottom. So to see good, I look straight. But to see greater, I look up. And maybe that's why the eagles have two feathers in their eyes, but because they can see good looking straight, but if they look up, they can see better. Look at your neighbor and act like you're preaching and say, hey neighbor, you can see good if you look straight, but you can see greater if you look up. Oh, you can see a good house if you look straight, but you can see a greater house if you look up. You see good money if you look straight, but you can see greater money if you look up. You can see a good husband if you look straight, but you can see a greater man if you look. Slap somebody high five and say, whatever you do, just look up. Kick in your bifocal. Kick
kick in your magnifying glass, kick in your vision, and look up. Somebody holler, look up, look up, look up. And so then, therefore, God, my bifocals taught me something. It taught me you can see better if you look up. You activate the lens that you were ashamed of. And sometimes we are ashamed, oh God, of our inability to see. But we can activate it if we look up. But I found out and discovered, I'm almost through, that there are several languages concerning being able to see. Being able to see, there is sight, and then there is vision. Sight is the ability or the power to see. And most folks have sight. To not have sight is to consider to be blind. But then there is vision. Somebody say vision. Vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. Vision is a mental image of what the future will or could be like. There's a lot of people that have sight, but they don't have vision. You have the power to see naturally, but you have an inability to see or plan the future with images that are attractive. So sight without vision is a limited lifestyle. But there is this third word that I want to deal with today, and I'm getting into my close. That not only is there sight and there's vision, but there's also, Jadida, perspective. We get ready to get in trouble, y'all. Come on. There's ability to see. That's called sight. Then there's the ability to think about or plan the future. That's called vision. But then there is perspective. Perspective is a particular attitude towards something or the way of regarding something. Perspective is a point of view. Perspective is a mental view or prospect. In other words, perspective is this. If I was holding here on this pulpit, if I was holding here number six, yeah, can y'all see it? It's the number six. If I see it, I will see the number six. Y'all, come on, use your imagination. I see, do you see it? The number six. Come here, Pastor Sabrina. Pastor Sabrina, come here. Stand right there, would you please? I see the number six. I see the number six. Y'all see the number six? I see the number six. Pastor Sabrina, what number do you see? You see nine. No, it's a six. But it looks like a nine. No. It's not a nine. It's a six. From your view, it's a nine. No. From my view, it's a six. Then you got to come the way I am. And what happens is we're arguing with people who have a different point of view. Oh, God. What you cannot do in your life is argue with people who see nine when you know you see six. Because they see what they see from their perspective, from their point of view. And you see what you see from your perspective and your point of view. Do me a favor, help me preach to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, refuse to argue with people that don't have the advantage of your point of view. Oh, God, can I say it very plainly so y'all can get it? It is like the turtle and the giraffe having a conversation. The turtle and the giraffe is having a conversation about the height of grass. And the turtle walks through the grass and he tells the giraffe, be careful because this grass is tall today. The turtle tells the giraffe, watch where you're stepping, because it's difficult to get through the height of this grass. And the turtle will constantly remind the giraffe that if you're not careful, the grass could overtake you and the grass could conquer you. And if the giraffe is not careful, he will allow the turtle to impute fear into him to make him believe the turtle's perspective. The turtle is only scared because the grass blade is taller than him. He's trying to convince the giraffe, who's taller than the grass, that the grass could overtake everybody. But I'm here to tell y'all that today and this year, you can no longer let turtles predict how high your grass is. Stop letting turtles impute fear into you and tell you you can't do what you know you can walk through. Grab somebody by the hand and shake it like you're gonna shake it off. And say, neighbor, it may be tall to you, but it's not tall to me. It may be impossible for you, but all things are possible if I believe. It may be hard for you, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. No longer live your life from a turtle perspective. Slap three people, high five, and say, change your point of view. I'm almost through. Watch this. You've got to change your point of view, because it's based upon your point of view that's too much. It's based upon your point of view that's too heavy to handle. Watch this. If you look at your future based upon your generational line, you should never graduate college. If you look at the point of view based upon the family lineage, you shouldn't buy no house. You shouldn't get married and then stay that way. Based upon the view of the family bloodline, you shouldn't build no business and become no millionaire. But that was the point of view of the family. You have a new point of view, and your new perspective says, I can see with eagle eye vision. And I see that what's coming is better than what's been. I'm almost through. There's sight, there's vision, and then there is perspective, which means your perspective is not developed by your lens. Your perspective is not developed by your eyes. Your perspective is not developed by your optal nerves that sits on the back of your brain. Your perspective is not developed by your foveas. Your perspective is actually developed by your mind. Because it is your point of view. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, that your eyes see what your mind thinks. Selah, I want you to think about that. Your eyes see what your mind thinks. In this day of great mental health and mental health challenges, we are battling with a society, a culture, and a world who are dealing with individuals who are literally living based upon what their mind tells them they see. There is hallucinations. There is imaginations. There's thoughts and things that we see out there that are not really there. Because our mind tells us that it's there. It's not really there. Our mind gave us that perspective. So your eyes have the ability to see what your mind is thinking about. That's why you must be careful of where your mind goes. Because where your mind goes, so does your eyes. Your mind creates vision or perspective for your eyes, and you see things the way you see them, because that's how you think. All right, y'all don't believe me? Let's go to the Bible. Titus 1:15. It says these words, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Titus 1:15 again says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. I need some of you to get healed today. Some of you need to get delivered and set free, because you always see it the way you see it. You always want to pop off because you think everybody want to fight you. That's because you're defiled. Something's wrong with your consciousness. Something has contaminated your heart, and you walk around the streets like Rocky Balboa only because you think everybody is Apollo Creed. That's your perspective, and it's hard for you to live in peace when all you see is a fight. Because it's your perspective. It is the prayer warrior and the intercessor that only see demons and never angels. Because there's something wrong with your perspective. Because you always see warfare and you never see peace. The challenges with us is we have never dealt with the issues of our hearts. We've never dealt with our minds and our consciousness and got them to be clean and undefiled, so it's very difficult to see pure. You think everybody trying to hustle you. You think everybody trying to get over on you. Somebody walk by you and bump into you, and here you are, act like you straight from Brooklyn, straight out of Brooklyn, and you want to fight everybody, and you want to cuss everybody out. Y'all know how you do. Come on. Come on, tell the truth. You do it because everything is a pop off for you. Everything is a rah-rah. Everything is a come on, let's do it. Ain't nothing between us but air and opportunity. Everything is a fight and a war. You wake up in the morning thinking about who you can fight and argue with. You wake up with violence because nothing is pure because of your heart. Somebody go ahead and pray the prayer. Say, Lord, touch my heart. So that you can see it from its proper perspective. Hallelujah to God. So you can see it from, there's different kinds of perspectives, four different kinds of perspectives, and I'm going to leave you alone. The first kind of perspective I want to talk about is optimism. Optimism. Optimism is hopefulness and confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. It is to be optimistic. It is to have hope that things will end successfully. It is optimism. I have been accused of having severe optimism. Hallelujah. I mean, I think I should. If I'm a believer, I should be very optimistic. I am the person that you want around you when chaos occurs. You want me around. When things go on fire, you want me around. Don't call me, but if I was happen to be around, you want me around. Because I know how to see blood and act like nothing is there. It don't faze me. They could be bleeding, hand is falling off. I say, okay, this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to call 911. I need you to get a towel and wrap that up. And don't lick it on my carpet. Wrap that up. And we're going to take you to the hospital. When everybody's running around crazy and agitated, and the thing about it is, when you have severe optimism, people around you want to be frantic like them. They want you to stress and worry like they do. And we got to be very careful, because there's nothing like frantic and fearful people that want to contaminate your optimism. You are hopeful about the future, and they ask, why aren't you freaking out? Hallelujah. You believe it's going to end successfully, and they're wondering why you're not running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Hallelujah. See, I understand folks was dying around COVID. They was dying in 2020. They was checking up and getting out of here. People was in hospitals, couldn't breathe, on breathing tubes and machines. All kinds of stuff was happening. I said, y'all, this is crazy. This is ridiculous, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to stay in this house and sit down. Just that simple. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't need to freak out. Sit down. Go in the house. Close the door. Come on. It's just that simple with me. You don't have to go crazy about it. Go in the house and sit down. And stay away from each other. Because you didn't even know who in the house got it. And it was just that simple for me. Because I'm optimistic. I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know when it's going to end. But it's going to end for our better. Anybody optimistic? I tend to be very optimistic. I'm not talking about saying I'm in some utopia where you know everything is just peaches and cream. No, I know there's crazy people out here. I'm not just saying everything is going to be fine and dandy. No, it's going to be struggles and challenges. But I'm optimistic that even though there's challenges, it's going to end all right. Oh, can somebody just be optimistic for 30 seconds and look at your neighbor and say, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. They didn't believe you because they didn't holler. Find somebody else who look like they're going to holler and say, hey, neighbor, the Holy Ghost told me that everything is going to be all right. That bill going to get paid. You going to get healed and delivered. Your children going to work out all right. Come on here. You ain't the first one that had a late bill. You ain't the first one that got evicted or foreclosed on. You ain't the first one that had that car repossessed. You ain't the first one that's been fired before. And if we made it, you going to make it. If we came over it, you going to come over it. Tell somebody else again, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. I'm optimistic, one perspective. Second perspective is pessimism. Pessimism is the opposite of optimism. To be pessimistic is a tendency to see the worst aspect of things or to believe that the worst will happen. It's a lack of hope or confidence in the future. Pessimistic. Pessimistic people hide because they don't like to be called pessimistic. They try to relabel themselves and say, I'm just real. No, you scared. Tell the truth. You have a distorted viewpoint of how this all could end. No, I'm just a realist. I see it for what it is. No. Optimism is a hope. We can see what it is. It's just a hope it's going to end successful. Pessimism says, I don't even think it's going to end. It's just going to be the worst. It's going to die. We're going to lose it. We're never going to mount up to anything. It's a pessimistic perspective because you're not hopeful. But today, I want to infuse hope within you and tell you that it can work out. And if you believe it, it will work out. Allow your pessimism to adjust. Allow your perspective to not believe that it could turn out well. Oh, come on. To change and adjust today. I still believe, y'all, that late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Grab somebody, act like you're the preacher for Sunday, and say, hey, neighbor, I know it hasn't worked out in the past. I know it hasn't worked out for your family. And I know it hasn't worked out for some of your friends. But tell them, I prophesy to you that you are the curse breaker. And though it hasn't happened yet, it's about to happen to you. Prophecy has a way of speaking to those who are pessimistic and give them hope for the future. Point your finger at somebody and say, I prophesy that when the sickness ran into you, it ran out. Prophesy and say, poverty may run in your family, but when it ran into you, it ran out. Prophesy and say, neighbor, whatever ran in your bloodline, when it ran into you, it ran out of power. And what's coming is better than what's been. Come on, pessimism. Get healed. Get delivered.
get set free, it's going to all work out. Go tell three people it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. It's not that last shot. But what if it don't? It's still going to work out. But what if bad things happen? Yep, it's still going to work out. Because now unto him that's able to keep us from falling. You know why it's going to work out? Because we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. It's all. I need 30 people to prophesy. It's all going to work out. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them from out of it all. It's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. Slap somebody a high five. Say, things will work out. Things will come together. Things will be all right. Greater is in your future. I'm trying to quit, but I feel another scripture. All things work together for the good to them that love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Lean on your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's going to work out. Church, say yes. Church, say yes. He's healing your perspective. He's healing your perspective with tears in your eyes. He's healing your perspective with your heart being heavy. He's healing your perspective. It will work out. Gotta close. First perspective is optimism. Second perspective is pessimism. But then there's two other perspectives that I must leave you with. And one perspective is a lower perspective. Somebody say a low perspective. A low perspective is an angle from beneath. The angle from beneath is actually a low perspective. Is actually a photography term. Y'all know your friends that take selfies for you? You want them to get all the angles. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you got a real friend, they don't just take your picture for you, but they get your good angles. They get your side. A photography term called lower perspective is actually when you get down beneath the subject and you angle up and you take the picture from a lower perspective. Hallelujah. When you take the picture from the lower perspective, you actually look like the subject is taller than what it really is. Maybe that's why you got haters, because they got a lower perspective and they look at you as if you're taller than what you really are. That's why I kind of understand why you're jealous of me and I'm struggling to pay my bills. It's just because you see me from a lower perspective. And anybody that looks lower up, it always looks taller. How many of you wonder why anybody can be jealous of you and you got more struggles than them? It's because they're looking at you from a lower perspective. I got a Metro card, you got a Mercedes, and you don't like me. You see me from a lower perspective. I'm renting my house, you bought your house, but you see me from a lower perspective. I got hand-me-downs, you got name brand, but you see me from a lower perspective. Don't judge me from the perspective that you see me, because I'm only tall in your eyes. Well, she thinks she all that and a bag of chips. No, you think I'm all that, like a bag of chips and a Coke on the side, because you see me from a lower perspective. that big. You just see me from a lower perspective. Tell your neighbor, I'm not better than you. I'm not bigger than you. Just don't look at me.
There's optimism. There's pessimism. There's low perspective. But here come number four. Then there's elevated perspective. That's either being positive or negative. That's either being low or high. Elevated perspective is the perspective that eagles have. Eagles have elevated perspective. They can see their prey 2 miles away. They can see a fish swimming in water 2 miles up in the sky and dive down to catch it because they got elevated perspective. They see up there where the air is thin. They see up there where only other eagles fly. They can see things and make decisions from an elevated perspective. I'm closing, y'all, but I got to give you real quickly. I got to give you 7 steps to elevating your perspective. Y'all ready? Write this down. Step number one to get an elevated perspective is you must choose humility. Nothing ruins perspective like an overinflated ego. Choose to be humble, because actually humility is the way to go up. The way to go up is first you must be willing to go down. Somebody say, choose humility. Number two, in order to elevate your perspective, you must discipline your mind. It's your thoughts that influence the way you view the world. You're gonna have to bring your mind in. Come on, somebody say, snatch your mind back. For mind is a terrible thing to waste, and your mind affects your vision, which inevitably affects your sight. Somebody lay your right hands on your head and say, I gotta discipline my mind. I gotta choose to think differently now so I can change my perspective. The third way to elevate your perspective is you must read. Did I just cuss in church? I said you must read, because leaders are readers. And if you're not reading, you're not leading. Your perspective is only narrow because you limit the information you put in your brain. But if you put a book in your hand and get off Facebook, then you're able to understand new perspectives. If you get off the gram and learn to get in a book, then you can elevate your perspective. Y'all, don't look at me with that tone of voice. The fourth way to elevate your perspective is to elevate your thinking about good and great, and learn a new language today, that good and great. To elevate your perspective, you gotta stop settling for good. Good enough ain't good enough anymore. Because with an elevated perspective, you gotta turn good into great. I know y'all writing and thinking, but nudge your neighbor with your elbow and say, neighbor, good is the enemy of great. When you settle for good, you forfeited your greatness. Come on, children. A 65 is passing, but it ain't good enough. Come on, y'all. Not when you can give me a 90. Not when you can do 95 work. Come on, it ain't good enough. I know you passed the class, but it ain't good enough. Come on, some of y'all saints. You straightened up your house. That's good. But you need to clean that house. That's great. You done swept it up. You done straightened out the carpet. But when you clean it up, you get the Clorox and the Ajax.
You get behind the toilet. You get in the back of the closet. You fold them clothes. You iron them clothes. You wipe down that counter. Look at y'all looking at me strange. It ain't great if you're settling for good. Grab somebody. Grab them by the hand and say, neighbor, I'm no longer settling for good. I'm looking for great. Come on, ladies. You don't want a good man. You want a great man. I ain't got no women's conference here. Come on, woman that are loose. You don't just want a good guy. You want a great guy. I don't want just a good job. I want a great job. I don't want to make good money. I want to make great money. Change your perspective. How else do you do it? Next point I tell you is expose yourself to greatness. Get around great people. Get around great thinkers. Stop clucking with chickens when you call the soar with eagles. Stop dancing with snakes when you call to ride with horses. Get away from low thinking people. Get away from gutter folks, gutter rats. Fabulous but ratchet. Come on, somebody. Change your circles. If you're the smartest person in your circle, you're in the wrong circle. You need to get around some people that make you think, that challenges your reasoning. Expose yourself to greatness. But what the devil does is he makes us jealous of the people we should learn from. He makes us intimidated by the people we should glean from. I'm here to tell somebody, your haters only hate you because they shouldn't learn from you. But if you're hating on anybody, sit at their feet and learn what they learn. I'm getting ready to close. But the seventh step to elevating your perspective, rather number six, is find a pusher. Lord, help me here. Did I say that in 23? I'll say it again. Find a pusher. I ain't talking about the weed man. Find a pusher. No, y'all. Not your hemp and CBD. Find a pusher of destiny. Get somebody around you who's going to make you be held accountable to your dreams and your purpose. Lean on your neighbor. Lean on the shoulder and say, neighbor, where is your pusher? Where is your motivator? Where is your encourager? Where's the person that said you got to do better? Where's the person that said you can go further? I gotta close, but do me a favor. Push your neighbor in the back and say, neighbor, God is about to send you a pusher. Somebody that ain't gonna let you settle. Somebody who's gonna challenge you to next level thinking. Somebody that's gonna push you into another tax bracket. Somebody that's gonna make you pray harder than you ever prayed. Worship longer than you ever worshiped. And I found out, Daniel, Justin, I found out that if you don't get a pusher in your life, then God will send problems to be your pusher. If you don't adapt the pusher, then trouble will come to push you. And I want to tell about 25 of you that God sent the trial just to push you in your purpose. You wouldn't move unless it hurt. You wouldn't leave unless it hurt. So he had to hurt you just to move you. So tell your enemies, thank you. When you lied, you made me pray. Tell your enemies, thank you. When you gossip about me, you made me worship. Trouble is a new pusher. Trials is a new pusher. Get out of your seats. Tell three people, I got a pusher. It's pushing me into my greatness. It's pushing me into my purpose. It's pushing me into my assignment. I never prayed as hard as I prayed. I never consecrated this long before. But something got a hold of my heart, and it pushed me to praise God like I lost my mind. Yeah, high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, welcome to the next level. I gave you 6 steps to elevating your perspective. But step number 7 to elevate your perspective is elevate your gratitude. Yes, sir. When you elevate your gratitude, your perspective goes with it. So what are you saying, Shaw? I'm saying the more you tell God thank you, the higher you will go. The more you tell God thank you, the further you'll go. Somebody lift up your hands and say, God, I thank you for everything you've done for me. The more you praise him, the better you feel. The more you praise him, the higher you climb. The more you praise him, the more your wings stretch out. Come here, Kelly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings, fly away. Slap somebody a high five and say, neighbor, if you praise them, it's like an elevator. It'll take you higher. If you thank him, it'll take you to the next level. So on purpose in 2023, be grateful for everything God has done. Lord, I thank you. Clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. God, I thank you for food on my table. God, I thank you for a roof over my head. Get out your seats. Tell 5 people, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him. The higher you climb, the deeper you go, the further you walk. Thank him. When you thank him, he'll promote you. When you thank him, he'll elevate you. When you thank him, he'll lift you. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but if you thank him, joy, joy. Find somebody, grab them by the hand and say, joy, joy. Say, joy, 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 joy unspeakable, joy flow like a river, joy that can't stuff out. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away, because I got elevated perspective. Somebody, anybody, throw your hands up and say us, say us. I'm ready to go higher. I'm ready to go higher. I'm ready to go higher. Go tell five people, I'm ready to go up. I'm ready for my money to get elevated. I'm ready for my position to be elevated. I'm ready for my strength to be elevated. I'm ready. I'm ready. Anybody in this room, are you ready? Well, do me a favor. Grab your neighbor around the shoulders. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake. Y'all ain't shaking. Shake them. Rock them. Rock them and shake them. And say, neighbor, God will turn it around. God will turn you up. God will lift you out. You got the wrong neighbor. Find somebody else. Get out of your seat. Grab them by the shoulders. Shake them. Rock them. Rock them and shake them. And say, neighbor, God will turn it around. God will make you the head and not the tail. Tell him, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? I need a shouter in here. Find somebody else in the back of the church. Put your arms around them. Tell them, I know it's been rough. I know it's been tough. I know it's been hard. But change your perspective, because we serve a God who's able. Now, while you're shaking them, while you're rocking them, tell them, won't he do it? Won't he make a way? Won't he do it? Won't he turn you around? Won't he do it? Won't he save your soul? Won't he do it? Won't he make you whole? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? I'm trying to quit, but I feel elevation. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I feel elevation. I feel a getting up. I feel resurrection power. I feel getting up in order. Tell somebody, God's gonna do it. God's gonna do it. God's gonna do it. Won't he, won't he, won't. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. Praise him like he's gonna do it. Shout like he's gonna do it. Matter of fact, praise him like it's already done. Watch out, devil. Ready or not, here I come. Tell three people. Tell the devil, watch out, because I'm on my way. Come on, Eagles, where y'all at? We're getting ready to soar. We're getting ready to ride the wave. We're getting ready to ride the wind. The devil tried to kill us, but we got away. The devil tried to take us out, but we got away. Millions didn't make it, but I'm one of the ones who did, and I'm grateful. Look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? Tell him it's an elevated perspective. We getting ready to get out of here. Come on, we got to go. The next church is about to come in here. But I need about 30 people to go crazy with gratitude. Because here comes your elevation. Yeah, no, go. I said give them gratitude. Give them gratitude. Hey, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No. Let your praise be as crazy as your elevation. Make your praise match your elevation. If you want to go higher, if you want to go higher, if you want to go higher, you got to give them radical praise. Don't make no sense praise. Give it to them, give it to them, give it. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just heard the Holy Ghost. He said, the higher your praise, the higher your flight. Somebody missed it. He said, the higher your praise, the higher your flight. I prophesy to every praise in this room, you're about to fly above your problems. You're about to fly above your trouble. And the only way your blind spot is put into motion is if you look down. I want you for the next 60 seconds to give God an elevated praise for an elevated perspective. And as you praise him, he's going to cause you to rise above your stuff. Rise above your situation. Rise above your circumstance. I want you for 60 seconds, praise him on purpose, like the money just hit your bank account, like good news just came in your email, like you already been approved for the job. On the count of three, go for broke and give this floor a fit. Dance, move, run, do something, because an elevated praise equals an elevated perspective. One, two, three, praise him. Up, 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 up. That's it. That's it. Yata. Yatosha. Yandoshi. Yataba. Obasi. Yateke. Jump, leap, shout, dance, jump, leap, shout, dance, jump, leap. I don't care if you do jumping jacks. Do something to say I'm ready for my promotion. Grab somebody and start dancing with them, and both of y'all will be millionaires. Both of y'all will be homeowners. Both of y'all will be debt free. Both of y'all will be healed. We going up together. 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 Tell your neighbor, I'm not leaving you behind. No eagle left behind. No eagle left behind. We all gone soar. We all gone soar. Somebody and say, when I saw, you saw. Just like that. When I saw, you saw. Let's saw together. Remember, an elevated praise is an elevated perspective. We gotta go, y'all. But the Bible says if you desire joy, leap for it. Start leaping. Start leaping. Start leaping. Start leaping. Start leaping. Start leaping. And I'll give your feet like hinds feet. I dare somebody to leap and look at your future on another's perspective. Look at your future from an elevated place. Look at your future from higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand my faith on heaven, table land, no higher place that I have found. Plant my feet on higher ground. Somebody say, Lord, lift me up. Wait a minute. Slap your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? Tell him I got an elevated perspective. I see higher. Look up. The part I like about the scripture, it says, set your affections on things above, which means you should not be affectionate about things that's beneath you. The word affection is synonymous with the word love. For everybody who's single and getting ready to get married, fall in love with something above. Stop loving what's beneath you. The problem with some of our prayer requests, God said, I haven't answered it because it's beneath you. You ain't asking me for big enough. What you asking for is beneath you. I see that you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Why are you asking for things beneath you? Somebody shout above. I want you to go home, put on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter the statement, it's above me now. All your desires, it's above me now. Everything you're going for, it's, watch this, and it is obtainable. It is achievable. All you got to do is seek those things that are. Somebody say above. The Holy Ghost just told me, we got to go. He said, today, anoint their eyes. Give me my oil. He said, anoint their eyes. You're going to leave this church today with an elevated perspective. Oh, y'all thought it was going to be normal? It ain't normal. You're going to leave this church today with a greater vision. You're going to see your life in a higher perspective. Because if you sitting up there in heavenly places, then why are you looking down there? Come on, tell somebody, don't look down there. Don't look down there. I'm going to anoint your eyes. Now only, watch this, only if you want elevated perspective. If you want to keep clucking with chickens, stay right there. If you want to keep living in the gutter, stay right there. Watch this, but for 17 screamers, I want everything that 2023 owes me. I want everything that God promised for this year. Everything that God promised for these next 12 months, I want every single bit of it. Shout out your neighbor and say, what this year owes me, I want every bit of it. I want my February miracle. I want my January miracle. I want my March miracle. April and May, you better give me my stuff. June and July, you heard what I said. the days ahead of me are good. I want my stuff. Watch this. But you gotta see it before you see it. Y'all missed. I said you gotta see it before you see it. If you don't have your right perspective, you'll never see it. Prophesy to somebody, said you gotta see it before you see it, or you'll never see it. Do you see yourself wealthy? Do you see yourself with that degree? Come on, do you see the degree on your wall? Do you see yourself with new keys at a closing table, signing the documents that you just bought your first house? Do you see it? Come on, do you see it? Do you see your children saved and delivered in the house of God? You see your children going to college and graduating. Do you see it? Do you see yourself living long? Outliving the generational diseases of your family. Do you see yourself living older than your mama, living older than your grandmama? Do you see yourself living long? I see it. I see it. I see myself healthy, whole, and wise. I see myself wealthy. I want to anoint your eyes today. You're going to see. Take your glasses off and hold it in your hand, because we ain't finding nobody's glasses. Because when they off, you can't see. I want y'all to come around this way. Come down that aisle. I'm going to lay hands on you. You go back to your seat that way. It's called elevated perspective. I'm anointing you with eagle eye vision today. Eagle eye vision.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.